Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents, recorded live in Chicagoland, USA,
Swing Baby, Bark for Daddy!
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, with your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dolby.
Everything's a song! Just take a look around you, nothing can go wrong!
I'm the song! Abilities may sound you!
Things!
What was that function? I forgot.
Huh?
I forgot the functionality of this player.
I don't know what you're trying to do.
I'm trying to...
Listeners, just so you know, I told Luke I wouldn't sing unless I was allowed to sing badly.
Okay. Hey, it's episode 3 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. How about that?
You're Luke.
Yes, and you're Carrie.
Yes.
Wow. I can tell by the look on your face. So.
That was a not very amusing facial expression, listeners. You couldn't see that.
They can imagine. They've seen it in chibi form many a time.
Yeah. So. It's basically the same look the nun is giving the Blues Brothers on the Blues Brothers Plus Nun chibi, but we'll get to that later.
But first, let's start off the show with comments.
And for those of you who don't know Luke as well as I do, he is very easily amused.
Hey, I am my own target audience. We've established this.
I don't even have to do anything and he starts cracking up.
See, and here's the thing with being, you know, the fan and the student of comedy for all these years, sometimes it's the complete non-reaction reaction that cracks me up the most. I will often, for people in my life, say and do the stupidest stuff just so I can get to the end of whatever run I'm on and then stop and look at them just so that they can stare at me blankly with no change in expression, no
yes.
comment, just so that I can watch that for like a second and a half and then crack myself up hysterically for a long time.
And after this happens a number of times in a row, you will start begging and pleading, please be amused by me.
That was a good moment when I was like, doing that and you just weren't giving
yes.
up any kind of show of amusement. And then I, you know, got down. I was already, I think, on the floor at that point, kind of half over a bed of some kind, like looking at you from across the room. And I just threw up my hands in the air and said, be amused by me. And then I collapsed.
Except I was actually on the bed. This is a different era in our lives.
Yes. So, oh yeah, comments. With that, let's segue to Byron Lee.
Yes.
Byron Lee says, Dear Luke and Carrie, this was an awesome episode despite the Skype connection and occasional sound problem. I was laughing my butt off during the Buffy Willow showdown. I also got to say that Luke's story about his gig at the Dells was very inspiring. I tend to undersell myself and give off a general low self-esteem vibe. If Luke can pull it together and do something cool, then maybe I should throw my bullshit worries of what people think of me out the window and just get out there and be the best I can. Thanks for another, quote, pretty good, quote, episode, guys. Byron.
And by the way, I just want to apologize for the bad sound of the last episode because I was just too lazy to hook up my professional recording mic equipment at my place, and I figured, oh, this Skype mic, this will be fine. And when
it was pretty good for most of the episode.
I thought it was pretty horrid.
Mm.
So I found it pretty unlistenable. So for those of you that listened anyway, thanks, guys.
Okay. Do you want to read the next one?
Scooch in here. S. Ennis says, totally topped tolerable today, truly. Almost did a spit take during the Dell story thrice. Coke and this podcast don't mix. Aw, we want this podcast to mix with Coke.
And ironically, I'm drinking a Pepsi right now.
Yeah, he doesn't usually drink Pepsi.
Speaking of which, I saw the movie The Invention of Lying, which all in all is a brilliant movie, and you know, there's touching points. It's very hilarious. But the whole premise of the film is that it's a world that grew, you know, that came into existence without lying ever have been existed. And at one point you see Ricky Gervais' character watching a commercial on TV for Coke, and it's like some comedic actor, I forgot his name, but he's like, we're Coke. Well, we're very popular. People know who we are, and we would just like to encourage you to, you know, continue to buy Coke. It's basically just brown sugar water. So, please keep buying us. And then the thing comes up, Coke, it's very popular.
And what movie is this?
The Invention of Lying. It's still it's still in theaters.
All for reals?
Yeah, it's probably gonna...
Shit.
But anyway, but then a couple scenes later, he's on the street walking by, and a bus goes by, and there's an ad on the sides of the bus that says Pepsi for when they're out of Coke.
kind of like that part.
Yeah.
So you read the next one.
All right, Elizabeth C. says, "Hey, Luke and Carrie, Conga Rats on the podcast. Really like what you guys are doing. The Blues Brothers moment I can relate to as we travel with our miniature games, Sail Power, and Tech Commander, and sometimes don't know how it will be received. See you again at Mars. See you again at MarCon and Origins and possibly Gen Con. Glad we could help with some of the early stuff and glad things are going well for you."
Hey, you're not going to be allowed to have Pepsi during the podcast anymore.
Okay.
We went over this burping thing last time. Next time it's all water.
Okay, fine. So you read the next one from Arkel.
So go buy the miniatures game Sail Power and Tech Commander.
Yes.
Because it is by a listener, so support our listeners. I gotta stop addressing the listeners that aren't here, since it's actually just you and me in the room. Arkel says, "I loved the gig story. It's the kind of story I only wish I could tell on my own podcast."
Well, all right. And then, oh look, Blasted Bill says, "Me gives Luke a standing ovation for the belching. Yay!" I seem to recall somebody saying I would be berated in comments for my belching.
We're not going to
He's the only one who brought it up, and he gives us a standing ovation for it.
No, he's not the only one who brought it up. Byron brought it up on his Twitter.
Nah.
But just because it was enjoyable in one podcast doesn't mean people are going to tune in just to hear how many times you burp and like create a drinking game based on your burping or something. No. Forget it.
I invented the ultimate drinking game. Every time you take a drink, you take a drink.
That's the ultimate alcohol poisoning game.
Oh, yeah,
not
that's
the ultimate
right.
drinking game, dumbass.
Anyway. Okay, read Brad Carter's.
Brad Carter says, "Hi, Luke and Carrie. Your podcast is fun to listen to. I've been listening to it since episode number 000, and I've enjoyed them all. That is all."
That is all. Thank you. Communique from Brad.
Brad Carter has left the building.
And then from Ken, Madman on the Loose, Ken Sherlock says, "Awesome story about the showboat. When the crowd is suffering 50-point alcohol and party-related IQ loss, it can get difficult to keep them on your side." So true.
All right.
And then,
by the way, we do have a new way for you to contact us.
Oh, we do? Tell me all about it, Carrie Dalby.
In case you didn't want to go to badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT, you could email us at badrapport@gmail.com, BADRAPPORT, at gmail.com.
Yes. So, yeah. And
or you could even be cool enough to write an iTunes review like these two awesome, cool people who wrote positive iTunes reviews. This one, written on October 23rd by Medemia, "Get into the mind of Luke, Ski, and Carrie. A fun podcast. Luke talks a lot, but keeps his stories art interesting. Carrie keeps Luke on track sometimes. There are some songs between the stories, and A Resurrection of News of the Stupid is back, proving once again that people are stupid, and once again they have proven it. This podcast is not proof of stupidity and worth the listen to see what makes Luke, Ski, and Carrie tick." Luckily, I was able to read through my own typos since I retyped it, so we didn't
actually
have to
I think you typed it verbatim because those wordical errors were in.
No, she didn't write OS instead of OF.
Oh, all right.
Maybe
stupidity is an operating system for PCs.
Yeah, stupidity OS. It's got to be Windows.
So, did you read both of them?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Get to read the other one.
Oh, the other one is a crazy St. Louis fangirl Two wonderful episodes. This is a great podcast for funny music and parodies. It is also good just for a laugh. I have been a Lukeski fan for years, and I really enjoy his brand of humor. Carey helps to keep him on track, and they play off of each other well. Written on my trusty iPhone.
And how many stars did we get?
5 stars!
Woo! Our first 5-star review. Yay!
Okay, we totally guilt-tripped you into giving us 5 stars!
Crazy St. Louis fangirl is the coolest person ever.
Yes. So,
Medemia's pretty damn cool, too.
Yes, thank you very much to both of you and everyone who commented at badreport.com.
We will do a shout-out to you if you write an iTunes review.
Yes, and we will plug your gaming miniatures if you mention them in your comments. Yes. And anything else that you mention in your comments.
Yes.
Soon we'll be getting tons of combos. Rob Balder, Earthworld is awesome just like this podcast. like he needs my help.
No,
Do you know how much web traffic he gets?
We'll not talk about that.
Okay.
So, what are we doing next?
Was that
the end of the comments? Yep, commenty comments?
That's the end of the comments, so we're going to concern ourselves with this at the moment.
Halloween, it's a crazy time of the year. Halloween, it's a night of fun and fear. Cut up all your daddy's clothes, put on your mama's pantyhose, grab a bag and meet me in the street. Halloween is really cool, you get to act like a stupid fool and get rewarded with delicious treats. Halloween, Halloween, get your shit together, it's Halloween. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
Halloween!
I was distracted by your monitor, it looks like it's dancing. Why do you have a dancing monitor?
I don't know.
Is it like every time we bounce the floor slightly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess.
It's very wiggly.
Well, I usually don't bounce that much. For those of you who are...
I guess I bounce a lot, but I am a girl.
That song, by the way, was by Rob Schraub from his The Ringwald and Molly show. So go to YouTube and do a search for Ringwald, Molly, and it's episode 7 called Halloweenies. And I just thought that would be a good intro.
And the song is just called Halloween.
Well,
right?
Yeah, the song is called Halloween, I'm guessing, but the episode is called Halloweenies.
Okay.
That it's in. So. I tried to be nice.
I hit him. Every burp is a hit when we do this in live.
Oh, that's what I was going to... Yeah, I should have pulled this up ahead of time. I should be able to snag this, but... So, Halloween happened. I was working at my usual caricature working type place on Friday and Saturday night, and last year it was my first Halloween there, so I kind of chickened out in my opinion. I went with a store-bought Joker costume just because I was afraid to try something more obscure, or I just felt like I had to be safe, middle-of-the-road guy. And the costume I really wanted to do, I didn't do. But this year, I got to do the costume I wanted to do last year, which was bowler hat guy from the movie Meet the Robinsons.
Yay.
Some of you may remember I did a song, a parody of Mrs. Robinson, music provided quite generously by Carrie and her father.
Mike Hazelman,
yes. So I got to dress up like him and everything, and... created a bowler hat. I even had like the little camera lens with a... I actually bought a soldering iron so I could solder together a little tiny red LED light that could go inside the hat so that it actually had a little glowing eye coming off of the hat.
Did it work?
It worked, yeah.
Nice.
It came out pretty nifty. So I emailed Steve Anderson, who actually contacted me before. Steve Anderson is the director of Meet the Robinsons and the voice of Bowler Hat Guy. So
yeah.
He had contacted me before to say that he really liked the song, so I emailed him back. And sent him some pictures, and you saw the pictures, right, Carrie?
Well, I saw the top one there. I didn't see those other two.
Yeah. So this is me doing the checklist thing.
He's showing me a picture. This is an audio format, Luke, just so you know.
All right. So Steve emailed me back. Oh, I also told Steve about the song Marvel Poppins because he works for Disney. So he said... Hey, Luke, great to hear from you. It's been a while. Very funny song. I love it. What bizarre world we live in when Disney buys Marvel. I don't know what to think. A strange wedding of philosophies, and your song captured the surreality of the whole thing beautifully. Thanks for sending it to me.
Wow, a director of a movie heard me sing.
And then,
a real movie.
And then I had to resend him the pictures because his computer messed up. And he said, "Got him. Thanks so much. You fester and boil awfully well. What an honor. Was that list photoshopped in there? Did you really have my name as a part of your costume? Double honor." Yeah, what I did is to recreate. I didn't have a trapper keeper like Bowler Hat Guy had with the bright pink unicorn on it. Instead, I just took my sketchboard and I drew like one of Bowler Hat Guy's checklists that said, you know, first item, you know, dress up like Bowler Hat Guy for Halloween, check. Item number two, take picture of it and email it to Steve, check. And the third one, which was unchecked, said, get that boy, you know, swearing, get that boy. So, anyway.
So Luke hobnobs with gigantic Disney executives. Is that Disney? Yeah.
Yep, that's Disney.
He should have you, like, write a song for, like, a movie.
That would be particularly nifty. I'm not sure what he's working. I think he might be working on Rapunzel. That's one of the next Disney features being worked on.
I don't think he'll get you to write for that. But, you know, if it was something more along the lines of
it would be hair-raising.
I was working on a slow clap, but he interrupted me with laughing. Sorry.
Sorry, but like, yeah, I just, that's the whole downside of the whole audio only portion of this, is that people just don't get to, you know, enjoy your great stares of, you know, annoyed indifference.
They're not that great.
Okay. So talk about your Halloween.
Well, I got to start my Halloween in Bensonville, Illinois, punching in at 6:45 a.m. for work.
Yay!
And I get to work for 4 hours, and then later on that evening, I was back in Bensonville again after having traveled home to Chicago and back, which is a bitch. And then me and my husband and my best friend were a theme costume together. My husband was dressed as Elwood Blues, and my best friend was dressed as Jake Blues, the Blues Brothers, as mentioned on the last episode, and I was dressed as the nun Mother Superior, aka Da Penguin, with a ruler. And so we went trick-or-treating with Ken's daughter and other members of Ken's family, and I repeatedly beat Ken and Josh with a ruler.
I can't help but think, you know, what Ken thought of that. I know. Let's call Ken. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken, bing.
We need to produce that.
Yeah, we'll get...
But we're pretty lazy,
we'll
so...
We'll get Chris Mezzalesta on it.
Yeah, eventually.
I called his cell number. Hello. Hey, Ken, it's Luke.
Yeah.
And Carrie is here, too.
Yeah, you're on the show now.
Yes.
We're recording.
Alrighty, I was expecting... Wow, that's cool. Okay.
We decided to skip the meal and go straight to the show.
Yeah, we're eating after the show this time.
Ah, okay. I was wondering if you were going to call. I was expecting to call slightly later. I'm glad I got the call on time.
So
I was actually in the basement complaining to McDonald's about my dinner.
Uh-oh. Did you get to eat anything yet?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Don't worry. I did eat. I'm not cranky Ken.
We don't want to talk to hungry Ken. Hungry Ken is scary Ken.
Yeah.
So
you want to hear what happened?
Sure.
All right. Well, I went to the drive-thru. I all of a sudden I got me a chicken select meal, got my kip nuggets, and all of a sudden the guy tells me what the price is, and of course me, I knew the price, I knew something was wrong because the numbers on the board didn't match. I mean I could tell from the cost that it was the wrong price. When I got my receipt and realized that one of the prices had changed.
Uh-oh.
But it was only 10 cents, so I didn't give a darn.
Right.
But so then they tell me, hey, it's going to take a while for your slugs to pull off to the side after I get my drink. I take a sip of my drink, and it's flat as a pancake.
Oh.
Of course, my icy cold Coca-Cola was flat. So I go back in the store to get, and they really don't like it. What do you mean it's flat? And all of a sudden, it's like, ugh. So what they do is they gave me a, so, actually, they were going to offer me a refund, and I tried it. nothing worked, actually. My daughter apparently got the last good one. So I ended up eventually getting a very weird lemonade, and then all of a sudden, I'm walking out the store, they're still selling Coca-Cola, even though they said the machine isn't working. Which I thought was really weird.
Yeah, that's a little fishy.
But the best part was, on the way home, on the block drive home, the commercial comes out there. Hey, if you're at McDonald's, what's that feeling after your first icy Coca-Cola?
Irony.
My daughter was the one actually says, "Yeah, Daddy, you know how that is."
Well, you know, Ken, Coke, it's very popular.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Coke is very popular.
Yeah, but my daughter came up with a smart aleck remark, not me, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, well, she's taking after you more and more.
Yes.
Which is awesome that my daughter's actually now responding back to TV and radio, which is great. I mean, I was in a miserable mood all afternoon and evening until basically my daughter said that one line.
Nice.
That's cool. So give us a quick wrap-up on Halloween.
Like, what was your... I kind of already told the story, so we don't need the story. It was like, what was your impressions, your feelings, your observations? And I didn't get to the story about the car yet.
Do you want me to talk about that, or should I?
Just talk.
Okay, well, I believe Carrie described exactly how... Her husband Josh and I were dressed.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
And of course, this was Carrie's eye. I actually had a random thought about this last year. We initially did this at WindyCon 2008. But Carrie actually augmented the costume, which I thought was, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, it worked.
It was your birthday gift last November.
Yes, it was. And all of a sudden, basically for a while there, she had me thinking, because the year before she pulled off something that I could not believe. I still can't believe I was that foolish to let it happen.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
By hitting me with the surprise party that for some reason I completely did not have any idea.
Yeah, that was a great night.
He's talking about Con and the Cob?
Con and the Cob, 2007, his surprise party, which was for his 42nd birthday, since 42 is the answer to the life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
Right. But anyway, I just went off on a tangent. But anyway, so we were walking. I knew that at least my family, knows. I knew, if nothing else, that my sister and my brother-in-law and their friends, they would get the costume, because my whole family, they love the movie. I mean, we are native Chicagoans, you could tell. I know Carrie's father at the wedding says, yeah, I love the way your voice sounds so Chicago.
It really does.
Yes, that's who I is. But, and I figured that I was more optimistic about people, because I think was it my idea to try to get you guys to come by and walk with us?
I don't remember, but anyways.
Yeah, because I figured everybody else would think it was cool, especially since my family didn't think I could come up with a decent costume.
Yes.
I mean, random people on the street were taking our picture, and they actually said, hey, get the nun in there!
Yes, they like the nun. So, tell the story about the car so that we can wrap up this segment.
Okay, well, we walk by there, and all of a sudden we're walking down the street there, and all of a sudden we hear something. Hey, it's the Bluesburg, we got the perfect car. And we turn around there, and there's a black and white car there. It looks just, if it wasn't for the design on it, it was the exact same color scheme
as the car in the movie.
As the car they drove in the movie. So we end up taking pictures in front of it, and then all of a sudden people stopped and came running to take pictures of us in front of the car.
Yes. And they got me in that picture, and I wish that I had a copy of it wherever that person is. But I don't think I ever will.
And unfortunately, what happened was my family just, of course, since it was my family with kids, they didn't care about the costume. They just wanted more. They just wanted to go to houses to get more candy.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I didn't even think about getting that picture. I know there's a picture of...
We would have needed a fourth person to take the picture, which is why I'm not in any of them.
Yeah, well, my mom did take a couple pictures of you. I did provide a link to that.
It's a little blurry. But we're gonna wrap it up here.
All right. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
No problem. Thank you very much, Ken. Talk to you later.
Okay. Catch you guys later.
Bye bye. Right,
okay. Bye.
That would be Ken.
Yay.
So, any other comments on Halloween?
We had a good time. Then after that, we went out to eat and back into the city, and we really didn't do anything else because I had to get up early the next morning. I'm pretty much working every day lately, like every morning, in fact.
Yeah, that sucks worse.
Yeah, but 7 days a week.
Well, before we get to the first full-on song of the show here, I want to tell a story. I was going to read the whole story, but we have so much stuff to work in. I'll try to give you the short version.
Which will be at least 8 minutes long.
Yes. There is a new track at thefump.com that posted last week by myself featuring Devo Spice called All You Can Tweet. It is a parody of a song called All You Can Eat by the Fat Boys. The Fat Boys recently have...
And the Fat Boys are, for those who don't know...
An old school rap group. They were in the movie Crush Groove. They were in the movie Disorderlies. They had big hits back in the late 80s with their team up with the Beach Boys song Wipeout. Their team up with Chubby Checker song Louie Louie. They also had a bunch of, you know, previous old school rap hits from back in the day.
Okay.
They broke up in about...
That's enough.
Well, I... All right. So, I did a parody of them. They've been basically disappeared for 20 years, and now they're back with a website and a Twitter account, and because they tweet so often, I thought it would be funny to do a parody of their song, All You Can Eat, called All You Can Tweet. It's Marky D and Kool Rock. Their DJ, Buff Love, passed away back in the mid-90s of a heart attack, and that's really very sad. They have a new, I'm not sure if he's their manager, their promoter, or whatever, but this guy called Uncle Louie, who's helping them run their business and do all their new cool things. So they have a website, fatboystv.com. Their main website is originalfatboys.com. They have fatboystv.com, which is basically a streaming thing about once every week or so when they feel like it. They get on and spend a half hour chatting with people, reading comments, and answering questions. So I happen to be... home right when they were starting up doing that, so I signed on, started chatting with them, and I had tweeted earlier in the day and managed to get Uncle Louie's attention, and he messaged back via Twitter that he really liked All You Can Tweet. So I don't know if Kool Rock had heard it or Mark at all. So as I'm watching this thing, I'm making comments to Marky D and
The 10-minute mark was 17 minutes ago.
Wow.
Okay.
So Uncle Louie says, well, I'm going to sing an opera. And then, I typed in rap symphony in D minor or C minor. I think I said D minor. It was supposed to be C. Anyway, the point is I typed that in and Marky D saw that I typed in that comment, which is a reference to a song from their third album. And when he saw that on the video screen, I saw him say this.
Wow, rap symphony in D minor. That was gangster just now. The great Luke Ski.
Ready?
That was our song.
So that was pretty cool to see. So I keep watching the show. About 5 minutes later, they start wrapping it up. And at the end, I just type in, hey, Mark, please go to, you know, www.thefump.com and check out my song, All You Can Tweet. And then Uncle Louie says, oh, wait, before we go, we got to play this song. And Mark's like, what song? And he's like, oh, here. And he starts playing it. So I got to sit and watch one of my... old school, like, basically, when it comes to who are Luke's two biggest influences in music, there's Weird Al and there's the Fat Boys. And I've really had next to no contact with them until just recently, or no contact with them until just recently when they came back and started interacting with fans again. So here I am watching live video streaming of Prince Marky D of the Fat Boys listening to All You Can Tweet for the first time ever, and he was loving it. He was rocking out to it. He started singing along with the chorus and stuff. And then at the very end, here's what it sounded like.
Yo, that's dope. That's dope. Who made that song?
The great Luke Ski.
The great Luke Ski's the man. He's dedicated. He is a fan. He is a friend.
I recorded that. It's going to be archived on our show, so hopefully he can do some promoting for us.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So that pretty much made my freaking decade to witness that firsthand.
As you said, it would be like if Donald Fagen had listened to and liked A19 of mine.
And you got to watch him listen to it. You know? So that pretty much freaked me out. Now, if you'd like to hear that song, you can hear it at thefump.com. Right now, we're going to play a different song from thefump.com. So that
about Twitter.
Yeah, well, it's about internet-y things in general, but tweeting ended up in the title of the song. But here is, with a great topical song about things happening in the news, Mr. Steve Goody from thefump.com, and this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Report that you're listening to. More of the same... Coming up next.
Stumble, stumble, stumble.
Stumble.
Stumble, fall, stumble,
yeah.
Fall.
Here we go. Song.
Northwest 188, this is Minneapolis. Please respond. Northwest 188, are you there?
Got my captain's hat and my clip-on tie. Got my pilot's wings and I'm ready to fly. I even brought my laptop and iPhone. Now I'm bored to tears at 30,000 feet. I'm on Facebook and I'm posting tweets. I'm blogging while I'm logging hours flown. So text me and chat with me quick before I hit a tree. I missed my stop by 100 miles or so. 'Cause I'm tweeting on a jet plane. One I should be piloting. OMG, I gotta go. So many times I fooled around, made the passengers bounce up and down. I lost my way while bidding on eBay. Now I'm circling back to where I overshot. I never thought then I'd get caught. When I come down, they'll haul my butt away. So poke me and chat with me. I'm pirating a DVD. Hold my calls, I love this video. And I'm tweeting on a jet plane. Up again, LOL, look out below. Now the time has come to land it. Hope I can manage it one-handed. I'll close my eyes and aim for the runway. Use the force. My license is gonna get revoked. My mom is gonna have a freaking stroke. But I'll have time to Google more each day. So text me and chat with me. Oh wait, did I just pass Terminal 3? I'm map-quested and I can't find my way home. 'Cause I'm tweeting on a jet plane. I hope they let me fly again next year, if I make parole. I'm tweeting on a jet plane. My job has just gone down the drain. No problem, I habla Espanol.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Air Columbia. Our flight time to Minneapolis today will be 4 hours and 10 minutes, or 5 hours.
That was Steve Goody.
All right, we are now speaking. I was actually speaking to you during the song when I came back from the bathroom, and you were so into, you know, the song and whatever you were tweeting or texting that you didn't even know I was addressing you.
I had the headphones on.
But what I was saying is we need to get more stuff going for the podcast, like a Facebook fan page or something like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Why not? I'll listen to you.
Because in this particular podcast relationship, you're like, you know what? Podcast needs this and this and this and this. You do it, Luke.
Yes, do it. What's wrong with that?
Hey, I created a Gmail account today.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've put more effort into this podcast than other things that I've put less effort into in. And that was time for the review of Manslaughter by Shape for the Dark Lord. Gary Dalby, take it off.
Ah, you know, some of us have to work for a living. So, we are reviewing the new CD, very new, by Schaefer the Dark Lord. It is entitled Manslaughterer. And, well, you start. Because you have more positive things to say than I have.
Okay. Well, I thought you should start since you have been a more devoted fan to Schaefer longer than I have.
Come on. We can do this. We can do this all night. So, okay. Basically, you know, I learned about Schaefer the Dark Lord via the Manic Mondays podcast, devaspice.com, you know, RIP. So, I enjoyed the song Nerd Lust from the album Mark of the Beast so much that I immediately just bought the entire CD, and I loved the CD. I bought it as an MP3 download at the time. Let's see. Yeah, it wasn't available on iTunes or something. I don't know. I had to buy MP3s, I think. Anyways, Mark of the Beast, which is Schaefer the Dark Lord's second album, and not the one we are reviewing, Mark of the Beast was epic. Amazing. Like, one of the best CDs I had heard in years. And, yes, it's a lot of it's very vulgar, but Schaefer the Dark Lord is a nerdcore rapper artist, and as Ken said, he's the, you know, person who's rapping you can actually understand. He's very clear and concise and dictates his lyrics very well. And his CD Mark of the Beast, I've listened to it dozens of times. It's epic. It's amazing. So I did have high expectations. But, you know, I don't know if you can really top that, because, with Manslaughter, he didn't top it. My favorite song is the one we'll be playing at the end of this review, and I think that song is, in my opinion, the one song that, lives up to the songs in the previous album. Other than that, I would say he hasn't lost the skill for lyric writing. The problem is that the concepts are not as funny or awesome or original or amazing. In fact, in some ways, he's kind of following some formulas. For instance, the song God Damn It is basically an entire song about the swear word God Damn It. Well, that's great, but on the last CD, he had a song called Fuck This Song, an entire song about the word fuck, and that one was pulled off much better. And, you know, to my ears, it's a more offensive word, but, you know, of course, it depends on the person's religion. And, what other song? There was several other that followed formulas from other songs on Mark of the Beast and didn't live up. I believe possibly Thunder Thief. No. The Invisible Man. I don't know. It's like he just wants to write a song about supervillains, but they're just not as cool as the Tin Man. And, let's see. I'm just sitting here staring at the CD here. I'll come up with the other example later, but now Luke is going to speak.
Well, I disagree with you in that I think there are a lot of tracks on this album that do live up to the tracks on Mark of the Beast. I do agree with you that Mark of the Beast was, you know, is an epic album. It's kind of like, you know, the kind of album that like okay, for the best example I can think of is like you look at the Beastie Boys and their album License to Ill. Now they've done several albums which were far more like artistic and daring and, you know, interesting since License to Ill, but it's the License to Ill album that is like, you know, forever burned in the brains of an entire generation of people my age is like, yes, that is the ultimate. It's Beastie Boys, License to Ill. Nothing shall ever defeat it. It is pure hip-hop rock. You know.
It's kind of like he was trying to make the next, you know, Schaefer's License to Ill, and, you know, he didn't succeed. I don't know. He needs to come up with better song ideas.
Well, let me go down some of the tracks. Arrival of the Fittest, I think, is a great tune because I really want one of his fans to make a fan video for this song because he makes references to all kinds of TV shows and movies, but not like by name or even by like saying too much specifics about it. He just, like, makes vague references to, like, you know, like that one part goes, you know, I gotta travel back in time to save my parents' marriage. I gotta travel back in time to stop my enemy's mother. I gotta travel back in time to write a history report. So basically, he just referenced Back to the Future, Terminator, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yes. You know, and the whole song
is referenced elsewhere.
Yeah, it's like I every time I hear that song, I'm picking up on, oh wait, oh that's that movie, oh that's Office Space, that's Gremlins.
You see,
this is
more for you than for me because I didn't pick up very many of the references.
Oh, it's chock full of them. You know, I met my long lost son and I cut off his hand. I mean, that's
well,
you know,
that one's obvious. But,
you know,
I missed a lot of them.
I think a lot of these song concepts are good. Psyched, I think, is good. The Bender is great. Even though I'm not a person who partakes in drugs
bending.
And alcohol, I think, you know, The Bender is...
I'm also a non-bender. A song I did want to mention, The Other Devil, it's actually very catchy, and it's about Popeye.
What?
Which, the first time I listened to it, I didn't catch that. But The Other Devil is about Popeye. And it's basically Popeye has two devils on his shoulder.
Well, I picked up the whole two devils on each other's shoulders. I never picked up that it was about Popeye.
It is. See, that's
see,
the,
I would,
that's
I would,
the problem. If you're going to write a song about Popeye, make it a little more obvious that it's a song about Popeye.
But then Worm Quartet won't buy the album.
Oh, actually, it's not a song about Popeye. Okay. You didn't hear that, Shoebox.
Well, it's like, okay, H-Mail, I thought was very good and very clever. It's, you know, basically him pretending to be some, you know, internet troll hater writing Schaefer a fan letter saying, you suck, blah, blah, blah. And it, like, really made me, it's the kind of thing that, like, whenever somebody, you know, throws a bunch of bullcrap hater stuff at me, I can laugh it off now because I can just think of the song H-Mail and go like, ha, ha, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the internet troll story. Yeah. My second favorite song would probably be Scorpio, which is a song about being a Scorpio, you know, the zodiac sign, not the animal, which the animal would be creepy, but, that's definitely worth a listen. I highly recommend that one. I enjoyed The Visit from MC Front a lot, who is another hardcore artist I'm starting to get more into.
MC Lars makes an appearance on the album as well.
Yes. So, oh yeah, that was another problem that I had with the album is that song "Monsters of Rock" with MC Lars. It's a good concept, but they need somebody to help them with their singing. I mean, I'm glad they don't use like voice tracking or whatever it's called, but I mean, you know, I'm sure they have enough friends that have a sense of pitch that could jump up in there. It's kind of like, you know, like Devo Spice, he's not a very good singer, but when there's a certain part he knows he's not singing right, he gets somebody to help him to sing it right. And, you know, Luke has done that at times, and I think that's something that MC Lars and Schaefer the Dark Lord could benefit from if they get their friends with senses of pitch to help them.
Well, I want to mention at least a couple other songs that I really liked on the album. You mentioned God Damn It. See, I like God Damn It a lot because...
I don't dislike it.
Because, let me finish. It's like, I mean, how many people have done a song about the word fuck? Tons of people. How many people have done a song about the word God Damn It? Nobody. That's
no,
why I think
person.
It's awesome. Who?
Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Well, that's my point is that, you know, you're saying like, oh, it's just like this, except it's, you know, not really offensive. It's like, well... You know, you've been around me long enough. What's the thing I say when something goes wrong or I drop something on my toe? What do
God
I?
God damn it!
God damn it! That's my God damn it is my goddamn catchphrase. My dad said it all the time. So like when I was started, I was like, this is so cool. It's a song dedicated to the my most, you know, probably my most used expletive. You know,
I would have liked it more if fuck this song didn't already exist and wasn't already superior.
Well, I don't know. I need to listen to this a bunch more, but I think I might like God Damn It better than fuck this song. We'll just have to wait and see. But I do that has a great hook. God damn it. You know.
Yeah.
And then the stuff he does at the end. And I have to mention Battle Font. That's because
that's worth a mention.
Yeah, it's the epic story of a big gladiator battle between all of the fonts on your computer to see who will be victorious.
Yes, it is. It is a good concept. And I actually wanted to mention one more song, which is Pixelated Vixen. The reason that song jumps out at me is because That concept was done by a previous artist known as Steely Dan, the song Pixeline from their 2003 album Everything Must Go. But I bet nobody's pointed that out to Schaefer the Dark Lord yet. I bet I'd be the first. But, you know, Pixelated Vixen probably hits the mark better with the concept, but of course I prefer Pixeline because, you know, I'm a Steely Dan fanatic, and I also use Pixeline as an occasional online nickname. So, anyways, are we ready to give it the score?
Sure. We're totally not ripping off the Scope score is...
Two and three quarter stars.
All right. So, yeah. So basically what we're saying is, you know, you can go to SchaeferTheDarkLord.com, and it's also available on CD Baby.
iTunes.
So basically, you know...
We'll buy it.
You know, I feel very positive about the album Manslaughterer. If you're only going to get one Schaefer, if you don't have any Schaefer albums and you're going to get one,
get Mark of the Beast.
If you're going to get two, get Mark of the Beast and Manslaughterer. And if you want to get all three like a completist fan person, then you should also pick up Meet My Maker, which is his first effort at an album, and it's just weird to listen to that album and then listen to Mark of the Beast and see, like, whoa, how many light years forward did he jump that album?
He didn't jump forward as many light years as MC Lars jumped in some of his early stuff.
Hey, I have insectivorous, all right? You hear me, Lars? I have insectivorous, and I will do things with it and let people hear it if you don't put me on your next album. You let Shoebox on your last album. Grr. Manufactured drama.
Shoebox wasn't credited, though. I was pissed about that. I kept looking on every little tiny note looking for his name. Didn't find it on anything.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I thought I saw it in there.
Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. So anyway, we're going to play you a song from the album Manslaughterer.
All right.
And here it is.
Here it is.
Hello, I'm Schaefer.
Hi, I'm Erin.
Erin, it's a pleasure to meet you, Erin.
Oh, likewise. I'm a big, big fan. And let me just say, you were amazing tonight. Oh,
thank you so much. You're far too kind.
Oh, I mean it. I think you're incredible.
I truly appreciate that. It's been a pleasure meeting you, Erin. Now, will you excuse me for just a moment?
Of course, Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you. Now, when I came and shook your hand, did you get the feeling that you'd been introduced to a nice man? And did my eye contact and winning smile leave you disarmed? Were you taken by my charm? Well, it was all bullshit. Ooh, snap. My nice guy act is just that, an act. You sap. You're as savvy as a child. God, I wear a sheep suit, tailored for a wild dog. As I hawk an aw shucks routine, which you've been buying. A Trojan horse bait and switch, which behind I hide a violet-driven demon. With no remorse or feelings. Only give a shit about one guy, and he is me and I. But can't stand my friend, don't respect my fans. I'm a devil on another level, you can't understand. I'm such a cat, I oughta rock a fanny pack and a do-rag. Ooh, man, I'm a total douchebag. Yeah, and all the people go, please just say it isn't so. You're really so nice, right, bro? No, I'm a bad man, I'm a very bad man. I'm a very, very bad, bad man. And all my people see only what they wanna see. Trust me, you don't wanna trust me. Cause see, I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad man.
Suckers.
Oh, I'm a very, very bad, bad man. Look you in the eye and I will chuckle while you weep. Spend the night and I'll slip dollars out your wallet while you sleep. I'll take a sex tape, maybe one that me and an ex made. Digitize it, get it on the internet the next day. Call her up and ask her if she wants to get back together. Whatever she says, I'll giggle that her sister was better. Never keep a secret, nor an allegiance. And yeah, I'll gladly do a dance around a paraplegic. Children scream in fear when I'm near, I'm guessing maybe it's cause I explain the Santa myth to little kids I babysit. I don't believe in God, I won't ever go to heaven. And I think I might have even had a hand in 9/11. And I got a lot of, hey, wait, whoa, what? Too soon? Put your crying boo-hoo. You don't like it, screw you. And you too, all of you. You fell for a trick. You're even worse than me, cause you admire me, and I'm a prick.
And everybody I've ever met begins to cry. They realize I'm not a nice guy, and that
I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad man. I'm a very, very bad, bad man.
And every friend and fan I've ever had is very sad. You've all been had by a bad scam.
Damn, I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad man. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, bad man. I've never paid a compliment I actually meant. You know, I've never done a thing without malicious intent. Cause I'm detestable, despicable. My ways will make you sick until you can't believe you ever spoke to me. I'm a miserable backstabber. And all of my colleagues are bad rappers. Diss them to their fans, heckle them mad and ask them, what's the matter? Crack an AIDS joke, all of y'all will call appalling. Punched an 8-year-old in the mouth for talking during Wally. While I'm taking great joy, I toy with other people's lives. Cheating
betting on my marriage with my best friend's wife. I relish breaking bad news to rooms of cancer patients. Explain to babies where they come from with some illustrations. One day you'll heed these words and stay away from me. But for now, you're all just fawning fans who buy my CDs. I'm a cheat, a thief, a user. You know this is true, or is it? Cause I'm kind of a compulsive liar, too. And all the people go, please just say it isn't so. You're really so nice, right, bro? No, I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad man. Well, I'm a very, very bad, bad man. And all my people see only what they wanna see. Trust me, you don't wanna trust me. Cause see, I'm a bad man. I'm a very bad man. Oh, I'm a very, very bad, bad man.
Okay.
And now it's time for...
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause I'm making soda means to incriminate.
A 28-year-old clerk at a Christian bookstore in Simi Valley, California, has been arrested on charges of peeping at customers in the restroom with a video camera. Police said the man was cited and released on suspicion of peeping by means of an electronic device Sunday after a customer spotted the device hidden among boxes in the corner of the bathroom of the Family Christian Bookstore. That's the name, Family Christian Bookstore. The 40-year-old woman and her husband called police to report the suspiciously placed camera. Sergeant Dwight Thompson said the recording shows the suspect hiding the video camera in the bathroom because it was taping as he positioned it. Maybe this guy was trying to install the world's first video confessional, or maybe he was just trying to see the body of Christ. Amen. We still recording?
All right, yeah, we're still recording. Sorry, my hand bumped the keyboard.
No more hand bump.
In Salt Lake City, Utah, four teenagers were cited by police earlier this week for disorderly conduct after they wrapped their order at a McDonald's drive-thru. The teens said they were imitating a popular video on YouTube. They wrapped their order, which begins with, "I need a double cheeseburger and hold the lettuce," going through the whole wrap once quickly and then repeating it again more slowly afterwards. Spencer Duwalder said employees at the restaurant told him and his friends that they were holding up the line and needed to order or leave, but nobody was in line. He and his three 17-year-old friends left without buying anything. Police Sergeant Greg Ludlow says a manager wrote down the car's license plate number and called the police. The teens were later cited by officers at a high school parking lot outside of a volleyball match.
It was not just that they were rapping, they continued to hold things up, employee Ludlow said. Ludlow said the teens were asked several times to speak plainly and that ultimately the manager came outside. Franchisee Connie Kramer said in a statement, "The employee in question felt that her safety was at risk as a result of the alleged actions of these individuals in the drive-thru, not as a result of them wrapping their order. As such, she contacted the local authorities." Because rap music means they must be gangstas with their Gats and 40s waiting to burst into the drive-thru window and spray the place and take all the holiday gift certificates? Lady, you're in Salt Lake City. The person with the highest ranking street cred is Donny Osmond. Sharon Dahlwalder, Spencer's mother, said they will fight the citation. None of them were charged with hamburglary.
No, I won't say that it got them a bad rap. And no, I won't say that this is going on their rap sheet. I will, however, mention that the stage names of the four teenagers are Biggie Sized, LL Cool Shake, 99 Cent, and Artificially Flavored Flav. Their group is called Ronald DMC, their first album is called Grimmest, and features their first hit single, "Who Ordered Chicken Nuggets? We Ordered Chicken Nuggets! Tell the Colonel we do chicken ride! Right?"
In China, a man who was caught having sex with another man's wife wound up balancing naked and shivering on an air conditioning vent. Sun Meng, 25, fled outside with the husband yelling abuse from his apartment window. A photo was taken by a neighbor, then posted on a local community website. Sun said in Chengdu, Central China, "People are laughing even now at how I look naked, but I must point out it was a very cold day." Which makes sense. Everybody knows you need to reheat Chinese takeout. I didn't write that. Okay, everyone. Time for a fun game. Is the following story a real new item? News item? Or is it a classic lost Monty Python sketch?
Crumbs.
Half of Britain's injured by the biscuits on coffee break, survey reveals. An estimated 25 million adults have been injured while eating during tea or coffee break, with at least 500 landing themselves in hospital, the survey revealed. The custard cream biscuit was found to be the worst offender to innocent drinkers. It beat the cookie to a top of a table of 15 generic types of Bicky, whose potential dangers were calculated by the Biscuit Inquiry Threat Evaluation. Hidden dangers included flying fragments and being hurt while dunking in the scalding tea, through to the more strange, such as people poking themselves in the eye with a biscuit or falling off a chair when reaching for the tin. One man even ended up stuck in wet concrete after waiting to pick up a stray biscuit. Custard creams get a risk rating of 5.63, the highest of all. This is compared to 1.16 for Jaffa Cakes, which was the safest biscuit in all of the evaluation. Research company MindLab International were commissioned by Rocky, a chocolate biscuit bar, to conduct the research. It found almost a third of adults said they had been splashed or scalded by hot drinks, or while dunking, or while trying to fish the remnants of a collapsed digestive. It also revealed that 28% had choked on crumbs, while 1 in 10 had broken a tooth off filling biting a biscuit. More unusually, 3% had poked themselves in the eye with a biscuit, and 7% by pet or other wild animal trying to get their biscuit. MindLab International Director Dr. David Lewis said,
"We tested the physical properties of 15 popular types of biscuits, along with aspects of their consumption such as dunkability and crumb dispersal."
Mike Driver, Marketing Director of Rocky, said,
"We commissioned this study after learning how many biscuit-related injuries are treated by doctors each year."
Oh, that was wonderful!
All right, what's on the television then?
Looks like a penguin!
Oh, well, what's on the air conditioner then?
Oh, looks like a Chinaman!
Oh, my delivery is here!
Oh, cheeky!
And speaking of Monty Python, this item is from the Huffington Post. Chris Christie, the Republican candidate for governor of New Jersey in today's knife-edge gubernatorial election, has been called out as a copyright thief. The 47-year-old lawyer, who was controversially appointed by George W. Bush as U.S. attorney in 2001 on Karl Rove's recommendation after being a top Bush fundraiser in the 2000 election, has created an election commercial that steals copyrighted protected material from British comedy troupe Monty Python, without permission or credit. The official campaign advert, titled Deja Vu, attacks incumbent New Jersey Governor John Corzine by using scenes from a famous skit on the Monty Python's Flying Circus TV show that features Michael Palin. The ad was on Christie's official YouTube campaign site and has already aired on national TV. But neither Christie, a lawyer for 22 years, nor anyone in his campaign bothered to seek any permission for using the copyrighted material in his election spot.
Here's the audio from the Monty Python TV show sketch. In it, we see the opening titles for a program called It's the Mind, followed by a shot of Michael Palin sitting behind a desk, the host of the supposed show.
Good evening. Tonight on It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That strange feeling we sometimes get that we've lived through something before. That what is happening now has already happened tonight. On It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of déjà vu. That strange feeling we sometimes get that we live... Good evening. Tonight on It's the Mind, we examine the phenomenon of deja vu.
So, the TV commercial made by Chris Christie's campaign shows that entire video clip verbatim with titles put over it, which talk about his opponent's plan to reuse an old plan to raise money for New Jersey by using funds earned at the Turnpike toll booths. When the New Jersey gubernatorial candidate's campaign team was asked where they got this campaign ad from, their statement was, "It fell off the back of a truck," said campaign manager Luigi Viccotti.
Alerted to the theft of their copyright, members of Monty Python are most unhappy. Michael Palin, who appears in the clip pirated for the advert, is especially displeased that his likeness is being used by the Republican candidate without permission. "I'm surprised that a former U.S. attorney isn't aware of his copyright infringement when he uses our material without permission. He's clearly made a terrible mistake. It was the endorsement of Sarah Palin he was after, not that of Michael Palin." Monty Python's Terry Jones says that the troupe is strongly considering suing the Republican for his copyright infringement, and I hope they do. It is totally outrageous that a former U.S. attorney knows so little about the law that he thinks he can rip off people. On the other hand, another of Bush's legal appointees was Alberto Gonzalez, and he didn't seem to know much about the law either, Jones said. Christie, undaunted by the potential litigation, continued his campaign today, unveiling their new campaign song.
Always look on the bright side of life.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
This has been the Spanish Inquisition.
I didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our weapon is supplies. Supplies and fear. Fear and supply are two weapons. Our fear and supplies and the ruthless efficiency are three weapons. Our fear and supplies and the ruthless efficiency and an almost fanatical devotion to the Pope. Amongst our weapons, our fear, supplies, ruth, amongst our weaponry are such elements as a fear. I'll come in again.
So now what do we talk about? How about we go from stupidity to ignorance?
All right. Go on in.
So this is the, True Tales of Ignorance from the Character Stand recurring theme. This one is, a couple short ones. This first one's definitely Character Stand. This other one is just something else I witnessed recently over the Halloween season. I drew a woman. Her name is Danielle. Now, in my life, whenever someone was named Danielle, it was spelled D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E. This woman, this girl, it was D-A-N-Y-E-L-L.
Okay.
Dan?
Yell.
Yell.
Okay.
That just seemed like so white, white trash, like, Dan, yell over to the place and get a thing! I don't know. That just kind of blew me away. Dan, yell. It just stuck in my brain.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been so bad if they would have added the end E, but if it was just D-A-N-Y-E-L-L, that's pretty bad.
That was, yeah. Did you have a thing you wanted to say, or should I go on to my other thing?
I'll just go on your other thing really quick.
Okay. I noticed a house that had, Halloween decorations up, and in front of this house, like those kind of like, concrete or whatever guys that look like they're holding up little lanterns or whatever. They kind of look like little, lawn jockeys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know how old this house was. It apparently had been a pretty darn old house, because the lawn jockey they had was like the skin of the lawn jockey was painted black. And I don't mean like brown like an ethnic African-American. I mean black, like an Al Jolson impression, like the little salt and pepper shakers I would see in the South when I drive to Dragon Con. Like,
oh, blackface?
Yeah, like blackety black, black, black.
That's not good.
With like wide eyes and red, circly mouths. And I'm like, man, that's, it looks like it's very old and been there a long time. Maybe the people who own this place just don't know what to do or how to haul it out of there. But, the house was all decorated for Halloween. So, there's, so they had to decorate that thing. So did they put cobwebs on it? Did they, make it look like a pumpkin? A chain. A metal chain around the neck.
Wow. Where was this?
This was somewhere in the Chicagoland area.
Suburbs of Chicago.
Yeah, and I was
be
just
proud suburbs of Chicago.
And it's like I'm looking around because everything else is like Happy Frankenstein and cobwebs and it's just kind of like it's like maybe one of their kids did it not realizing it, because all they know is that it's the funny black little
That's extremely racially offensive. Just in case you weren't sure about that.
Oh no! I was sure about that. If the listeners weren't sure,
I'm pretty sure that whoever did it knew that. Right. They'd have to be.
Well, speak.
It'd have to be a very strange coincidence.
Speaking of colors on important figures, what color of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
Today I am wearing a shade of pink that is so orange you can almost not tell it's pink. Would you say this is pink or peach?
I probably lean towards peach, but it's a pinkish peach.
Yes, there's this particular shade of pink that is so peachish that once it gets in my closet and next to all of my other shirts, I'm like, oh damn, that wasn't pink after all. But it would be considered pink when you just see it by itself in fact, the eyeshadow I'm wearing, look at the eyeshadow I'm wearing, because it matches. I ordered, but would you say that was orangish or pinkish?
It's hard to tell in this light. You're kind of in shadow. It's probably more pinkish.
Because it's actually, it matches the shirt very well, but it's called like rose pink or something, and I ordered it from Avon.
You know who wears that color eyeshadow?
Who?
The Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise. That's all. Just surprise.
What about fear?
Oh, yes, all right. Surprise and fear.
And the fanatical...
Shut up! Right.
Anyways, my, Yeah, that's very nice. So, my shirt is from, the Chicagoland, water park called Raging Waves. And, I can't remember the name of the suburb that it's in. It's a far-flung so-called suburb. It's really like farmland out there. But I had a very nice day with my husband in the early summer. We got to eat at Bob Bevan's in Plainfield, which has the best pancakes ever. And then we went to a water park. And it was such a horribly chilly summer that I'm just hoping they're in business next year. So if they are, go to Raging Waves next summer.
Okay. How about you want to do Weight Watch?
Sure. So I'm continuing to listen to the aforementioned non-nameable weight loss podcast that's so bad it's good. Let's see. Well, I was listening to an episode from September earlier today, and she said the word flogging when she meant to say blogging. So that was a pretty nice slip up. And, yeah, I actually would recommend this podcast because it just makes you like laugh and chortle, and you know, and then you occasionally kind of feel sorry for the girl. She continues to do weight loss podcasts even though after a year's time she hasn't lost any weight, but she's kind of enjoying the whole like fame type of thing that she's getting from doing a podcast, so she keeps doing it. If anyone really desperately wants to hear that podcast, you're going to have to find my personal email address and email me and ask me, and then I'll tell you, but I won't tell you here. And, what else do we got?
Well, I got What's Luke Plugging Now. So I'll just try to run through some stuff here real quick. My song Too Much Stuff, which Dr. Domino's been playing all year, is currently tied, according to the fan tallies put together by DJ Particle. It's tied for number one song of the year on the Dr. Domino show. So yeah, I would appreciate it if... wow.
I really hope you edit that. That's particularly disgusting.
But what does Marky D think?
That was gangster just now, the great Luke Ski.
See, he likes it.
Where's the anyway, sound effect for me flipping you off?
I don't know. We'll have to make one for that.
Yes.
Anyway, so it would help me out and mean a lot to me if you would go, you know, first of all, you should be listening to the Dr. Demento show anyway. His show is at drdemento.com, so please listen to his show there, or you can listen to it on a live station if you're lucky enough to be in an area that does. If you're in the Chicagoland area, that's 97.9 FM, The Loop, Sunday nights at 10 p.m. But please go to Dr. Demento's website and request Too Much Stuff by the great Luke Ski, because it would make me really happy if I could have a number one song of the year for the third time, because it's not a record, but it's certainly impressive. anyway, I should keep going here. Oh yeah, the Luke Ski Top 50 poll. For those of you who are fans of mine and are familiar with the greater body of my work, I am redoing the poll at my website to update it so that it has all the songs from my newest CD, Too Much Stuff, are in the running. And I even brought back all of the old albums in their full complete lists. Like, I didn't do that the year before. I'm doing that this year so that hopefully some other songs that were maybe forgotten can have a second chance to make the top 50. So anyway, go to lukeski.com and you can find the link there to go to the Mr. Poll website that has it. If you do not have my albums Target Audience or Too Much Stuff, and you want to hear the non-FUMP posted tracks from those albums, which are Transformers, Revenge of the Filmin, Vacuum Cleaner Hoses, The Box, and Just Mr. Londo, you can hear them at my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/thegreatlukeski. I'll be doing the poll up until November 12th, and then that night I'll be announcing the top 50 on Dementia Revolution. I already mentioned All You Can Tweet, the newest song by me featuring Devo Spice at thefump.com, thefump.com. I'll be performing at WindyCon on November 14th at 2 p.m. WindyCon.org. It's at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center in Lombard, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. Yeah, show Saturday afternoon at 2. Tom Smith and Toy Boat are also performing there that weekend. Caricatures. You know what? I do not have any gigs booked yet for the holiday season coming up, late November and December. If you have a party happening or your company is having a party happening and you think they would like a nifty caricature artist like me to show up and draw everyone there, please hire me. Go to artbylukeski.com and all the information is there, and you can, you know, shoot me an email via the website. Please book me. I really want to work as much as I can this holiday season. Obviously, the CD Too Much Stuff, you can get at my website, both in physical CD and MP3 download form. That's at lukeski.com. Be sure to also vote for songs by me and Carrie on the Mad Music Dementia Top 20 Countdown. You can find out all about that at themadmusicarchive.com. And one more thing that's worth mentioning real quick here is we announced the lineup of performers at MarsCon 2010, which is happening March 5th through 7th, 2010. Websites are MarsCon.com and MarsConDementia.com. Holiday and Select, Bloomington, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Playing at the Dementia track this year are music guests of honor, the Nick Adams, New Coming Acts, Throwing Toasters, Schaefer the Dark Lord, Steve Goody, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Insane Ian, Dino Mike, Odd Austin, and returning favorites Rob Balder, Worm Quartet, Gothsicles, Power Salad, Hot Waffles, Devo Spice, The Great Luke Ski, and The Spanish Inquisition.
Who said that?
What?
Don't play games with me! Our weapons are fear, surprise, ruthless efficiency, and almost fanatical. Ooh! Ah! Cardinal Biggles.
Here, Lord.
There's only one thing to do. We must torture him and obtain a signed... Two things to do. One, torture. Two, obtain a signed confession. Three, nothing. There is no third thing. Is that clear?
All right. I'm going to also plug my appearances.
Yes.
I will be at Park Ridge Community Church this Sunday night, November 8th, at, I believe, 7 p.m., singing with the Nothing But Trouble girls group. And I would be particularly pleased if all my peeps and friends in the Chicagoland area would come out and hear me. Yeah, please do that. And also, I'll be singing there on November 22nd, which is a somewhat non-specific time, 11 or 11:30. That one's in a more music, but it's also in a church basement, so you'd be even more crammed in with church people. So if you're not into that, you might want to just show up on November 8th instead.
Alrighty. So I wanted to do a new segment on the show called Shoebox has named it for me. Luke rants incessantly about some bullshit his brain won't shut up about.
Okay,
but
do that. I'm going to get some sugar.
What? Huh?
I think I have a low blood sugar. I'm going to get
okay.
Sugar.
Well, I kind of the point of... All right, never mind.
I can hear you.
All right.
Speak.
Oh, I thought you were going to, like, leave the room.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then, all right. Position myself better in front of the mic here. Okay, so I basically decided that one of the main things I wanted to do with this podcast was there's certain things that have been bugging me for years that closer friends of mine at some point or another have to hear me bitch about, and I've come to the conclusion that if I don't exorcise these things from my brain, then they're just going to end up biting me in the ass later because people I hang out with are going to be like, I'm so sick of hearing you talking about the same crap over and over again. So if I systematically talk about each of these specific things on this show, then that means great. I've talked about it on the show. That means I can't talk about it anymore. So, you know, that'll put it to bed, so to speak. So this time around, the thing I wanted to talk about is Carrie. this is a situation where something in Hollywood is doing something like they're educating the public the opposite of truth. Like, and this is the best example I could think of, and I know I hate to go back to the Beatles all the time, but it's just kind of the best example of talking about, not just that they're wrong, they're teaching it opposite, totally backwards. So if, like, there was a movie that was, like, presenting as fact to people, oh, well, the monkeys were very popular in America, and then the British people saw that and said, hey, we can do our own takeoff version of the monkeys, and we'll call it the Beatles, and that's where the Beatles came from. And if somebody was presenting that as fact, would that piss you off?
Yeah, but I like the monkeys too.
Well, yeah, the point is that this thing that you're passionate about is being, it's not just wrong, it's the freaking opposite, you know?
Not just wrong, it's dead wrong.
It's completely 180 degrees wrong. So, yeah. This is about one of the opening scenes in the movie Mrs. Doubtfire. And you're like, what the fuck? Yes, I'm going back that far. Whenever that movie came out in the early 90s.
I've seen that movie many times.
Yes. And it overall, it's a great movie. It's very hilarious. And it falls into that category of the kind of comedy where it's like, you know, oh, here's the main character, and he works at this job, but oh, and then he messes up. You're fired! Now what am I going to do? Then he gets a job as a submarine commander. Huh? And then wackiness ensues, and then it's Adam Sandler in Wacky Submarine Movie. You know, it's one of those type of comedies. So, you know, in those type of comedies, you need to have, you know, the main character have a job and then get fired from it. So this is the setup, is that you see Robin Williams working as a voice artist for cartoons. So they open on him in a cartoon studio, and a cartoon is playing, something that was, I think, pretty...
Oh, I remember this part.
It's obviously animated by Chuck Jones, I can tell by the style, or somebody trying to impersonate Chuck Jones. And a cartoon is playing, and Robin Williams is there providing the voices for the cartoon characters of a cartoon that's already been fully produced and finished. And we're not talking about a little bit of ADR, like, oh, we got to flub this line, go back and retake it because we're just doing patchwork. That happens all the time in Hollywood and in cartoons. No, we're talking about it was a little bird in a cage like Tweety singing an opera, singing like, and like, as Robin is doing this, he is perfectly syncing up with the bird on the screen, and then a Sylvester cat kind of comes up and takes him, and it's like, you are mine now, help! And like, everything he is doing is perfectly showing up on the screen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not how fucking cartoons are made. The voices are recorded way in advance. All that information is taken to the animators, and you know, special smart brainy people break that all down so that they can figure out which mouth movements go with which timing. It's just the voices are recorded first, and then it just freaking angers me so much. And then to just top that, it's like, in the cartoon, it's like, you know, haha, I have you now, little bird. It's like, oh, can I please have one last request? Oh, sure, whatever. And then the little bird whips out a cigarette and starts smoking. And then Robin Williams, doing the voices, going like, you know, like, on the cartoon, the bird is, like, enjoying it. Like, hey, look at me. I'm smoking this cigarette and I'm totally enjoying it. And Robin Williams is going like, I'm getting cancer. And then, like, the director's like, cut. What are you doing? Well, Robin Williams, I disagree with what you're doing. This is a bad thing for kids. And the director's like, you can't do that. We haven't animated his mouth to move to, you know, to do those words. So you have to do what we say. And he's like, no, I disagree with you doing this, you know, so screw you. I quit because I'm not going to promote smoking to kids. Okay. Number one, assuming this is not, you know, some kind of adult Ren and Stimpy cartoon that they're supposed to be portraying here, which we know they aren't. There's no fucking way business standards and practices now or 20 years ago would fucking allow a little cartoon bird to smoke and be enjoying it. That would never make it into the script. That would have been killed before it became a goddamn storyboard.
Yeah.
That's so fucking ignorant. And then just to double it with like, oh, the reason I'm getting fired is because I refuse to say the words that are in the script to promote the thing. It's like, it's just fucking backwards. This totally would not be, you know, it's like if...
Luke.
It angers the hell out of me.
It sounds like it's been weighing heavy,
yes,
on your heart.
It has.
For a long
time. It has, because I care about the kids knowing how traditional animation is done. God damn it. They grow up with their fucking Jimmy Neutrons and their computer animated bullshit.
Mean, you've
traditional animation.
Nights.
Go see The Princess and the Frog, motherfuckers. Traditional animation, bitches.
You've stayed awake nights and days and weekends just, you know, not sleeping, not eating, just, you know, this moment in this movie from 20 years ago.
God damn it! You're right. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
So I've never heard that particular rant, but I'm glad I never had to hear it again.
Here's a quick epilogue. Years after, I finally found out an interesting nugget of information. There was a Mork and Mindy cartoon, which I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and
so did I.
Back then, Robin Williams was too busy being like, you know, rich megastar going off touring, doing comedy to clubs all over the country. So they had to get the cartoon done. They hired Dave Coulier, you know, comedian, the guy from, you know, Uncle Joey from Full House.
Okay.
You know him, you know.
Yes.
Hey, do Bullwinkle impressions,
yes.
That guy. They hired him to go into the studio with, you know, Mindy and record all of Robin Williams' lines so that they could get the production of the cartoon done. And then when Robin got done on tour, Robin came in and did the lines ADR style for the whole series. So all the work Dave Coulier did never got heard. You just heard Robin Williams' voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured out years later, that's why Robin Williams in the making of this movie felt that plot line made any sense at all. Because he's used to, oh, well, I went out and did this and came back and recorded all the voices. So that's normal in the cartooning industry. It's not fucking normal, Robin Williams. They made an exception for you because you were a fucking star. And,
yeah.
You know, then he, you know, I'm willing to cut him a lot of slack because he was the genie in Aladdin and that was brilliant, but goddamn,
right,
that's been pissing me off for years. So,
okay.
You'll get to hear more rants like this in the future.
But not that particular one, because that one is
it's gone.
Dead
it's
forever.
Dead. We're going to have a sound effect.
We don't even know what the rant was about anymore. That's how dead it is,
yes.
Right? That's how that works?
Yes, that's
okay.
That's how it works.
Now, in a perfect segue here, I'm going to talk about work calendars. So, my calendar, okay, I work for like a healthcare related place, but so they make their little calendars every year, and so most of the people in their little cubicles have the little calendars that my workplace made. I don't have it, I have a different one. Anyways, so the images for previous months have been maybe a nature shot, maybe a shot of some kids or a kid and an adult having a touching moment. Or, you know, something not completely random and bizarre. The image on the calendar for November is a zipper. It's just a enlarged, like, artsy shot of a zipper. So I went up to look more closely at the calendar, like, maybe there's a reason that my healthcare industry-related workplace has a zipper on the calendar. And it told a little story about the history of the zipper. And other than needing to undo zippers so that people can pee in cups for my company, I don't really know why there'd be a picture of a zipper. So thank you for the perfect segue into that story.
And you know what? That was fascinating.
Slow clap.
Hey, you know who appreciated that pun?
That was Gangsta just now. The great Luke Ski.
See, Marky D thought it was cool.
Screw you.
Are we done?
Yes. End it. Kill it.
Oh, so our outro song is a song by Julie Brown, because we're going to have songs with women.
Yes, because I feel it is important to promote
yes.
women.
If you know any good
music.
Comedy songs by women, send them to us. Let us know what they are. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this has been Bad Rapport.
Yes. It continues to be bad. I'm going to get the last word this time, damn it.
Mentally bitch. Whoa!
If you've enjoyed listening to this record, you'll enjoy Folk Songs of the Spanish Inquisition.
Knees up, Mother Brown. Knees up, Mother Brown. Knees up, knees up, don't get the knees up, knees up, Mother Brown. That's right. Knees up, Mother, must keep up. We must be careful what you do, you fool.
The Great Lewski's the man. He is dedicated. He is a fan. He is a friend.